Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Eric, you're back again. You must love this place. You know what? Let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting behind you or in front of you, take a moment and introduce yourselves, okay? What a beautiful morning, isn't it? Oh, that sun was shining. Almost hard to come in here today because we should be praising God outside. Next week, by the way, we're going to have an outdoor service. So bring your lawn chairs if you can. I would sneak in a can of DEET if I were you. But the praise team says we're going to have an outdoor service. So it's at 8:30 and 10. Bring your lawn chairs. If you don't have lawn chairs, we've got some real hard metal things that you can use for a while. Anyway, we will praise the Lord outside and try that out. There's only one change in the bulletin. That is, there should be listed in there 11 o'clock Wednesday morning Bible study. So if you'd like to join us for that, it's not listed in the bulletin. I just want you to know that's still going on today. During these last few weeks and the next few weeks, we're inviting different people to share what their committees do in the church. And today we're going to ask Winnie to talk about worship and music. Why don't you come on up and enlighten us? This is Winnie Zaratka.
Good morning. As chairperson of the Worship and Music Committee, I'd like to introduce some members of our committee. We have quite a few. There's Skip Hansen, Carol Bakken, Marlis Beavers, Marilyn Samuelson, Wally Swenson, Sue Samuelson, Paula Spetz, Randy Tofteland, and Pastor Jim. We have many people on this committee because in the winter, many of our members are snowbirds and they disappear, and the meetings get a little sparse. We are always open to any new volunteers that would like to join us. The primary purpose of the Worship and Music Committee is to enhance the worship service through a variety of music and liturgy. We strive to keep the service running smoothly so it may be the one unifying event of the congregation each week. As parishioners walk through our church door, they are welcomed by the greeters, acknowledged and given a bulletin by the ushers, listen to the music of the organist, the choir, the praise team, the bell choir, or special music. They read along with the lesson and the psalm as read by the lector. Hear the word of God through the service from Pastor Jim, and sing hymns of praise accompanied by the organist. These services are recorded each Sunday and put online. Church times are listed in the local papers and online. Lay people conduct the service when pastor is on vacation. These are parts of the service that enhance our Sunday mornings together. Our committee chooses the hymns that are sung on Sundays. If anyone has a special hymn, please let us know, because we love to fill those requests. We try to coordinate the hymns to the season or holiday, or any old favorites that people might request. We are very proud of our choir, praise team, bell choir, organist Marlis Beavers, and choir director Sheila Penoyer. Music is a very important part of the worship experience here at Bethesda. We will have special music here on July 4th and 5th with John Koziel and his band, and I hear it's supposed to be very special this year.
Classic rock.
All right. And there, it looks like we have pretty well, depending on the church council, locked in the Garms family for the 16th of August. They performed last night at the Free Church over here in Malmo. So if anyone heard them, They're fantastic. Thank you for this time together. I hope this gives you some insight as to the responsibilities of our committee. Whether we are choosing a special bulletin cover for the holidays, contacting lectors, or working on the yearly budget, we consider it an honor to serve the church by being on this committee.
I'm not going to let you go yet. I'm going to ask you two questions.
Yes, sir.
Winnie, what do you like most about Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo?
The pastor. I do.
What would you change if you could?
What would I change? I don't know right
the off. Pastor.
Why didn't I think of that?
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
No,
thank you, Winnie. Yeah. We do have a wonderful congregation. It's nice that we gather on Sunday. It's the one thing we can do every week is gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this day. Thank you for the wonderful morning, the fresh air, the clean waters, the beautiful flowers. Thank you for the spirit that gathers in this place, that each person brings. We pray that as we worship, your spirit might be stirred in us, that we might think about who we are in your kingdom and how we would allow you to use us today and this week. Send your spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is 752, Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying. We'll sing it three times. Let's rise during the singing of the last verse. Send us grace. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the creator of wind and rain, field and ocean, the bread of life coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world.
Amen.
Before God and in the company of our sisters and brothers, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together. God and Father of all, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have thought better of ourselves than others. We have told lies, said hurtful things, acted in ways we wish we could take back, and looked the other way when action was needed. In your mercy, O God, forgive us, cleanse us, and heal us, for the sake of Jesus our Savior. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away, everything has become new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your sins are taken away and you are made new. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Oh, powerful God, in Jesus Christ you turn death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him, that we may triumph over all evil in the strength of the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
The first reading comes from 2 Corinthians 4. Life in the present is transitory and cannot compare with the eternal home God has prepared for us. So we do not despair, no matter what life might bring, because we know that as God raised Jesus from the dead, God promises to bring us into eternal life. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we lived in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The psalm is 130, and we can at the bold R, we repeat, "Wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love." Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared.
Wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. I wait for you, O Lord, my soul waits, and your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning,
more than those who keep watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love.
Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this second Sunday of Pentecost is found in the third chapter of St. Mark. In response to charges that he is possessed, Jesus wonders aloud how anyone who's demon-possessed can cast out demons. Those who do the will of God are possessed by the Holy Spirit, sisters and brothers of Christ. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He's gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside they sent to him, and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and brother and sister and mother." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 812.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday was our first Saturday evening service. They begun, by the way, at 5 o'clock. There was a young couple here that wanted their baby baptized, little Madison. Little Madison was about 9 or 10 months. She was not little Madison, she was chunky Madison, but a lovely baby. And the before and after pictures were marvelous. And they wrote our church such a nice, nice note, thanking us for welcoming them and for allowing us to be their church. But they're not regular church members. The church hierarchy would call them unchurched people. But we had such a marvelous time worshiping. Yesterday was June 6th, and so I pointed out, it's an important day in my life. I thought I'd share some thoughts about that this morning. Of course, it's D-Day, June 6, 1944. Chuck Carlson, the history professor, knows that that was D-Day, the day, I don't know, thousands of troops and maybe thousands of boats sent troops on the shore of Normandy Beach. And a year later, World War II came to completion, thank goodness. So D-Day was very, very important. Also, for those of you, I should probably ask, who hasn't ever been to a drive-in movie? There's a couple I know who haven't been to drive-in movies. 1933, Camden, New Jersey, the first drive-in movie was started. Now, what they were showing, I have no idea. But also, 6-6-1976, that's 39 years ago, that was the day I was ordained. It's a big, you know, the older I get, the more important it is in my life. We gathered down at Gustavus Adolphus College. It was a beautiful morning like this. Maybe less dark clouds, blue sky, nice breeze. We gathered in Christ Chapel. Christ Chapel is a huge chapel. There were all these dignitaries there. There were bishops from all over the land. There were 14 of us being ordained, and red was the color of the stoles that they would put on our shoulders, the stole indicating that we are yoked to Jesus. And each one of us had one or two pastors that would lay hands on us and pray for us individually, as well as the bishops. And the idea was, they call it the historic episcopate, that the Holy Spirit would come from Jesus to Peter, who is the first bishop of the church, and that Spirit was supposed to come down through the ages and touch me 39 years ago. And there were 14 of us, and they went individually, individually, individually. And I thought it was maybe some kind of a superpower story, you know? And I had never told this to anyone before last night, but I didn't feel a thing. But let me tell you, if our faith depends on feeling the work of the Spirit, many of us are going to let down. In those days when I feel empty of the Spirit or don't sense the Spirit, I tell myself, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that Jesus is my rock and my salvation. I know that He is the Good Shepherd. I know that He loves me. When I'm not feeling it, I remind myself that I know. And that's stood the test of time for me. But there was great pomp and circumstance, and we marched up and down and sang these wonderful hymns. 6-6-76. That was bicentennial year, by the way. 6-6-76, we nicknamed our class the Spirits of 76. I don't know how well they did, but anyway, it's an important date. Oh, a lot of people are asking me when you're retiring. I'm thinking I'm going to go next year, 6-6-16, that'll be 40 years in the ministry, just to let you know what's going on. So you're stuck with me another year, Winnie. Okay, thanks for your nice remarks. That's totally surprised me. I thought you would have said it was the spirit of the people that they bring every Sunday. Point of that is, and as I think of my life, is that each one of us is on our own spiritual journey. That young couple last night that brought their baby, I reminded them that God is with them, the Spirit of God is living in them, as they have been baptized. And sometimes we're heading good directions. Sometimes we turn our back and head funny directions. But the Spirit of God is always with us. The Spirit of God and God will always love us, absolutely, unconditionally. When we hit a different direction, it's like the parable of the two sons who asked for his inheritance. He took off. The father didn't much like it. He still loved that kid. He still waited for that kid. It's like when we take off, God still loves us. He still cares for us. And that'll never stop. We are on a spiritual journey. And where that journey goes, who knows? Whenever I've taught confirmation, I announced last night that I shouldn't say this, but our youth group has ceased to exist for a while. Maybe some others will take their place, but because our last youth turned 60 here a couple weeks ago, we couldn't serve Easter breakfast. Anyway, reminded me of confirmation class. Whenever I had a confirmation class, I never gave tests. I absolutely never gave tests, because when I was in confirmation, there were about 30 of us kids. Half of them were boys. I was the only boy who got an A. I got an A-, but I cheated. I cheated on my confirmation test. How bad is that? So I said, I'm not ever going to have any kid of mine cheat on their confirmation test, because I carry that around like a noose around my neck. But I've been telling my confirmation classes for years that confirmation class is the most important class they'll ever take their whole life. Over and over, every week. This is the most important class you're ever going to take your whole life. And finally, one of the kids had courage to say, what do you mean? What about science? What about math? What about English? If we don't know how to add and subtract and consider science and write, we're not going to go anywhere. I says, yeah. You're not going to use that every day of your life. You're going to use confirmation every day of your life. What do you mean? You're going to be asking, what's God doing in this situation? Why is God doing this? Where can I help God? Every day. And the older you get, the more in touch with that one is, I think. That God is at work. What's he doing? What's happening here? How am I going to respond? And our faith becomes more and more important. So that's why I think that confirmation is important. So we read the Bible, we give it lip service, we kind of drift through life. Finally, it's occurred to me that if you want a good way to live your life, Jesus says it, and it's quoted all the time, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I've given it lip service for so long, but I finally figured it out that all Jesus is doing is saying, if you want a good way to live, if you want a good way to live, listen to some of the things I say. That's the way. He's called you to be Christians. He's called me to be a Christian. I don't know what he says to Jewish people. I don't know how he works in Hindus or Muslim lives. All I know, he's called us to be Christians. You want a good way to live? Jesus says, I'll show you a good way to live. Well, what's good? For me, where I'm at on my journey right now, is at the end of the day when I can put my head on the pillow and feel a little peace in my heart and joy in my soul, then it's been a good day. Right, Dale? That means we probably helped someone else along, or we've made a world the better place by maybe some things we've done. If you've got a little peace in your heart and joy in your soul at the end of the day, I mean, you're living the way. And Jesus says that's the way. But what he teaches is so countercultural to us. He says things like, the last shall be first in the kingdom of God. He says, the greatest of all is servant of all. He says, if someone asks you to carry his suitcase for a mile, carry it 2 miles. If someone asks for your coat, give them your shirt too. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. And for Jews in Jesus' time, to get the backhand, that was the worst insult a person could give to another. That's the way you treated animals. And Jesus says, that's what you do if you want a way to live. And he says, forgive and move on. The last shall be first. Countercultural. It's not, it's so totally away, different from the way the world teaches us. I reminded this young couple yesterday that you're always going to be a model for your child. Those kids are going to watch you, the way you treat one another, the way you treat your neighbor, the way you show affection, the way you handle disagreements. Your kids are going to watch you. And let me tell you today, your kids are still watching you. Your kids are still watching you. I'm so proud of Audrey Kahlberg. I look out and see Craig there. She came to find out she couldn't drive, and she says, as much freedom as I get from that car, I'm going to give up my license. And then she says, I don't want to be a burden on my kids, so I'm going to move into an apartment for the winter so they can go south. They don't have to stay home and take care of me. I mean, she's being proactive. She's getting rid of her stuff. You got any stuff, Eric?
Yes.
Your kids are watching you. We never stop being models. Your kids, you're the only examples your kids have. You're the only examples they have. They see you day in and day out. Nowadays with that little... I mean, you're talking all the time. Whew. Anyway, so you set the tone, your models. If your Christian faith is affecting your journey, if you're thinking about how God would want you to live, don't be afraid to talk to your kids about it. My faith tells me this. You know, this is my belief system. This is what works. Even if you just say that, they can't argue with that, but you'll be telling them you're thinking about your faith anyway and your belief in the life and the age to come. I was invited to speak at the Aiken Baccalaureate a week or so ago. And what do you say to a bunch of high schoolers, 18-year-olds who had checked out of high school? I mean, the guys, they're just wondering about the job or if they're going to get a date after the meeting. And gals are primping themselves and, I don't know, floating around here and there. When I was that age, Jim, this is not you, but this is me. I was wondering who was going to get the booze for the party after baccalaureate. God loves me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he forgives me. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to find out, what do you say to kids? Now you happen to tune in on a sports show, Jimmy Valvano. They were going through his life. Jimmy V was a coach for North Carolina State, won the national title. He was filled with cancer, was receiving an ESPY award. So on ESPN, they asked him if he would come and receive this award. They didn't even know if he was going to make it because he was so filled with cancer. But there he was, walking down the aisle. His friend Krzyzewski out of Duke was helping him up on the stage. And he started speaking. He gave the most magnificent speech. If Jim Wang was here, he would get it on YouTube right now. I would ask him to wait until after the service. Anyway, he said he was starting a cancer research program through offerings and programs, and it's gone on ever since then. He was speaking and telling about his life and how his faith and how his family was so important. And the motto for his cancer research program was, never get up, give up, don't ever give up. And that's the motto they have to this day. And as he was speaking and he was getting the audience into this and they were laughing and responding, all of a sudden he stopped and he looked into the camera and he says, there's some guy in back there putting on the marker that you got 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds. And he stopped. He says, I'm full of cancer here. I'm going to listen to some guy in the back telling me I got 30 seconds. Forget about it. But then he went on to say, I figured out that we should do three things every day with our life. The first thing, every day you should laugh. Find something to enjoy about your day. The second thing is take some time to think. It doesn't hurt to put some thought into your life, into what's going on. And the third thing is everyone should be moved to tears every day. Whether it's joy or happiness or whatever,
But think about it, he said, if you laugh, if you think, and if you're moved to tears, you're living life big. And I think that's a great, great thing for each one of us to take on. Time passes, and a lot of you know that our spirits are alive, but our bodies are going to pot. We're each on our own journey through this life and into the next kingdom, huh? We are models for our kids. Our kids are watching us. And Jesus reminds us today that if you want a way to live, listen to what he's saying. It's not like you're going to be crunched and damned to hell if you do a little foolishness, because God will always love you. Our Christian church has not done a good job of letting you know that God loves you. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us all. Amen. Let's join together in singing "This Is My Father's World," 824. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Please turn to the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that they may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Trusting in Spirit's power, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Oh God, we pray for the church, for pastors and prophets, for ministries of forgiveness, for unity as the body of Christ in the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
For the creation, for soil and water, for all animals, for an end to divisions among those who care for the earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
For houses of government, tribal leaders and civic officers, for judges and legislators, for all entrusted with power, that it be used in service to those in need. Lord, in your mercy. For those who cry out to you, those who are abused, addicted,
brokenhearted, ashamed, and ill. We especially remember in our prayers Carol and Darwin and Janine and Dean and Linda and all those others in our lives who need your healing touch. Comfort those who mourn and those who will die this day. Lord, in your mercy. For this faith community, for broken relationships, for divided families, for all ministries in need of renewal, empower us for lives of reconciling love. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing a new sister in Christ into our midst. Allow her to grow strong in your kingdom and allow her to know your love for her. We pray, O Lord, that we might be good examples to our families, to our neighbors, that we might seek to live lives that are worthy of your love. And thank you, Lord, for your many, many, many blessings. We remember in thanksgiving the saints who have died in Christ. Join to them in baptism. We trust in the eternal home Christ prepares for us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Receive these prayers, gracious God, and those prayers known only to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so we gather at this table, ever mindful of Christ being present in, with, and under these gifts of bread and wine. Jesus was very, very wise. He knew that his teachings and his love and God's love needed to be passed down through the ages. And so he took something very simple and made it something very meaningful. At that Last Supper, he took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body, it's given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. As often as you drink this, remember me. Let's join in singing the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
All are invited to receive the bread and wine. If you are gluten intolerant, please let me know and we will serve that bread to you. Today we will use intinction, so we'll hand you the bread. Please dip, and then you may be seated. Please be seated. Congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion on page 6. Let us pray. Wise and generous God, we thank you that at this holy table you have fed us again with the food of everlasting life. Send us with your blessing to seek the good of our neighbor and call others to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace, live in love as Christ has loved you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is God Be With You Till We Meet Again.